Happy to be checking back in with Quincy Veteran Services Director George Nicholson to chat about how his department's coping this time and also about Memorial Day. Hey, George, good to see you again.
As always, Joe, likewise.
Pleasure.
Been a frustrating year.
Yeah, that's an understatement for sure. However, just today when we're recording this on May 25th is the very first time since the pandemic began there have been zero new cases here in Quincy. So we're making progress.
Yeah, we are. It's nice to know that the restrictions are going to be lifted. Unfortunately, not in time for me to revise and get the parade going again. But the Flag Day parade has got enough time to pull it off. So that's a good thing. We're just going to, for Memorial Day, we schedule our bands early. You've got to do that routinely. And they cancel because of COVID. And you can't get them back in this kind of short notice. So we're scheduling just the ceremony at Mount Wollaston at the World War II Memorial. It'll be at 10:30 on Monday. Whatever's left for COVID restrictions will be honored, but it's not going to be as bad. I don't have a particular guest speaker. Again, when we set this up as a precaution for COVID, but we'll have all the usual theres. It'll be usuals there, excuse me, and it'll be conducted under the auspices of the Quincy Veterans Council, as usual. With the mayor, myself, and some of the local dignitaries will show up. It should be a relatively brief service. And if by some chance it turns out that after all these days of good weather where we end up having rain or something that day, we will move the ceremony indoors to Quincy High School, either the gym or the auditorium, exactly which right now I'm not sure, but with COVID restrictions living, we could probably use the auditorium where before we would have had to use the gym. So we'll see. And we'll keep the fingers crossed that that's not the alternative we have to take. George is busy this week. The flags, the holders have been put in place at Mount Wollaston. And this Thursday, George will have the all the flags put up. So they'll be displayed in full regalia in time for the service. So we're finally going to be ready as best we can be. And that's about pretty much where we stand at this point with that. Nothing in particular. We'll follow the same general format that we always have. And we'll wait and see. We're working on the monument to the Gulf War vets. The sculpture has been picked. They're working on the wording for each of the periods of the Gulf War that were involved. And at some point, that monument will be going up on Mount Wollaston, hopefully in line where the other monuments are. Other monuments, we've got the Sailors Monument is ready to come into the city. And that's likely to be placed where they've done the excavation work on the site of the beachcomber.
Okay.
There's no date for that yet. And I would put out, just as the mayor is doing, another reminder. We're looking for the names of all the veterans we've got in the city. You know, you're born here, raised here, you've got a good connection with the city. To get on the honor roll brochure for the General's Bridge dedication that comes up on 9/11. It's surprising. I was talking to the mayor the other day, and they've got about 500 names is all they've got so far in the city. And the city's got a lot more veterans in it than that. So there's a lot of opportunity for vets to have their names put on the brochure and be permanently recognized as part of the big celebration that puts the bridge in a whole new general square. We'll be celebrating or recognizing, I believe it's 16 generals from the city of Quincy since Civil War.
Wow.
You know, 16 generals, 2 presidents, not a bad track record for the city.
I would say it's certainly made its mark on this country's history, yeah, without a question. How do the vets get on that brochure, George? How do they get their...
All they need to do, quite literally, is just call the mayor's office.
Okay.
376-1990, ask for Mary Mulvey, and just the name, the branch of service, and the rank.
Okay.
And when they were in, the time that they were in the service. And all of that will be listed, and each of them will be honored with their name on that permanent brochure.
Okay, so, good.
And I think they're pretty much, they're getting ready to go. So we're looking forward to it.
Speaking of names, I know there was another name added to the Vietnam Veterans Memorial just this past, a couple of months ago. Could you explain a little bit about that?
Walter Fabian?
Yes.
He was somebody, it was a little bit, from my understanding, controversial, because under normal circumstances, the criteria for that is their names have to be on the wall in Washington.
Okay.
And I'm not sure that his was, but he was seriously wounded in the war in Vietnam, and eventually died as a result of the residuals of the injury. So, yeah, he is service-related death, and he was put on the wall. I have one pending right now for another Quincy veteran who was POW in Vietnam, prisoner of the Viet Cong, and he escaped, was recaptured, and then was executed. And the body was never recovered, so he's officially still MIA, but his name's on the wall. And we're going through the vetting process right now with the Quincy Combat Veterans Group to get the details to see what it's going to take to put that together.
Okay. Who is that? What is his name?
Robert Phillips.
Okay.
He grew up in Quincy when he was freshman, I believe it was, in high school, and then the family moved to Ohio.
I see.
So when he went into the service, he went into the service from Ohio, and mm-hmm. While his service is officially credited to Ohio, we already have the precedent with several other names of the 48 that are up there who went through the same thing. Another one went from Ohio. One moved to Texas, but they're native to Quincy, so that's why they're on the wall. So eventually he'll be added to it as well.
Okay.
And we'll have a ceremony for that eventually. And we're also working on the city council approved, added their endorsement to a memorial site for retired firefighter John Driscoll, who's a Vietnam veteran. And Dan Dewey, who was president of the Veterans Council, commander of the Veterans Council. And we're going to have memorial squares for both of those guys done in the coming year as well. And that pretty takes care of the memorials. All the wreaths that we've got are up, ready to go. And the mayor wanted a little bigger than what we've always had before, so we've done. So we're pretty much ready. We'll have... Quincy 95 will have a memorial on the 30th at the Hancock Cemetery at about 9 in the morning.
Okay.
Monday, Memorial Day at 7 o'clock, there will be an observance at the Sailors Cemetery down on Fennell Street in Wollaston. At about 8:45, the Marisette Post has its ceremony at Hall Cemetery. In West Quincy,
yeah.
And then after that, everybody beats feet downtown to the 10:30 official at Mount Wollaston. Since the parade would normally start at 10:30, use the same time frame for the ceremony. So, and there we stand.
I remember last year it was quite special. You took the whole ceremony up to a veteran to celebrate his birthday.
Yeah, for Dean Schaefer, we did. And unfortunately, just a month or two ago, we finally lost Dean. So it was kind of sad, to say the least. But 100 years old, I've had been contact from the family, and they would like, I'm going to talk with the mayor and the Veterans Council to see what they have in mind. But I know that his family was so appreciative, and he was, for all the recognition he got, not just the one day thing where we recognized him, but he had a great time when we had the World War II celebration at the high school when we brought all of them in. He enjoyed that. And now the family would like to put a monument to World War II vets in his name somewhere in the city. Well, we've already got one of those. Actually, we've got more than one of those. So will we be able to do that? I'm not sure. But I'm thinking that at the very least, apart from that generous gesture on his part, I was talking with his son-in-law about putting a memorial sign up right on the corner of his street, make that Dean Schaefer Square. Same thing. So that's in the mill right now, so we're waiting to see what the final outcome is going to be.
Okay, all right.
And, I found it interesting. I went to a wake the other night for one of the Veterans Council commanders who's passed away. And it was attended. He walked in, a 96-year-old World War II Marine who was wounded in the Battle of Saipan.
Hmm.
Still in pretty good shape for his age. So it was a pleasure to be with him and to talk with him for a while. And know those guys are still around, and many of them in surprisingly good shape.
Yeah, I myself had an opportunity. I don't know if you heard the story about Anthony Grasso, a World War II vet who wants to travel down to Columbia, South Carolina, and salute the grave of the man who saved his life in battle.
Yeah. He was, I don't know, that gone, have they left already for that, or is that late? Is that scheduled for August?
That will be happening this Memorial Day weekend, actually.
Okay. Yeah. This week. I remember the story. It was a Lieutenant Dean or something, I believe. And the two of them were next to each other. He had the radio, and a mortar round went off, and Dean took most of the impact next to Gracia. So, yeah, that's always something you want to be a part of. And I'm glad at his age that he's still able to do that.
So, yeah, he's quite a robust 96-year-old, I can tell you that.
Yep, and I fully expect that the video that comes back from that will be a tearjerker and definitely worth seeing.
Yeah, so, well, it was interesting. I asked him if this is the most that he's ever spoken about his experience, you know, during the war, and he emphatically said, yes, you know, 96 years old, and this is the most he's ever spoken about it. I suspect that's true a lot of World War II vets.
Yeah. Well, not just World War II. It's true for a lot of combat vets.
Mm.
I know from experience, you know, my dad had went on D-Day at Omaha Beach. The ramp went down. They hit a mine. He was blown to the back of the boat. And they pull him back out, cleaned him up, put a new uniform on him because his was shredded, but not a mark on him otherwise. Send him back in. He ended up with 4 Purple Hearts, was captured by the Germans twice, and got away. And the interesting thing to me was he screamed in his sleep every night. All of it was post-traumatic stress. Could not get him to file a claim for it.
Really?
None of his friends, except in the VFW, knew anything, even knew that he was a veteran. Because he never talked about it. And he didn't talk about it. He opened up somewhat to me, but only once I reached veteran status and could understand. But again, he would never file a claim for, let me file a claim for disability for him. And if anybody could have done that, I could. You know. But no, he'd have no part of it. He never talked about it to anybody. And it was amazing to see that whole generation, especially that old generation, all very quiet about it.
Yeah.
Very little about what they did. if you have a conversation with them and you get into it, most of them grew up during the Depression.
Yep.
So they toughened up early. And if you sit and talk with them, like we did with when we did the Veterans History Project in the Court Stenographers Association, would come in and there's a whole format of questions that they were asked about their experience. Everybody knew about the war being documented. All our wars are very well documented. We can put pretty much everybody in time and place, you know, what you had for lunch, how much ammunition you used, who was in command, what patrol went out when, et cetera. All of that stuff's documented. The one thing that was never documented was the personal side of it.
Yeah.
You know, you had the general's report, but you didn't have any perspective from the foxhole. And that's what the History Report Project did. Yeah. And while they were doing it was amazing, although there were no questions like, did you kill somebody? Anything like that. They were just looking for the overall experience. Mm-hmm. You know, the hardship, foxhole, living in a foxhole, whatever they went through. And even in the combat experience. And it was amazing to me to see that they wouldn't answer the question, some cases specifically, but it would hit a sore point, a tender point with them. And you could see the tears welling up. Mm. But they wouldn't talk about it. Yeah, it was not a good time.
Right.
And move on.
Yeah.
That's the way they were.
Yeah.
And it's true, because when you're talking about veterans, for the most part, Joe, combat is an extraordinarily traumatic experience. It's nothing that you like to relive. And I remember that I've seen from time to time people talking about vets hanging out at the veterans' posts and stuff like that. Oh yeah, what do? They smoke cigarettes, they sit there and have a beer and tell war stories. No, they don't. The last thing any of them want to do is relive the horrors that they went through.
Right, they're looking
The guy next to him knows that.
Yeah. You know,
they'll tell stories about how they managed to, get a hold of some supplies that they weren't supposed to have, or went downtown, had parties with girls, had problems with other guys in the unit, or fun with other guys, and the small kinds of vignettes and stuff that were more relaxing and engendered most of us to the camaraderie that comes with being a veteran.
Yeah.
But the telling of war stories, talking about the actual experiences, is something that most vets virtually never do. And because it's just not a pleasant experience, you know, and it's a memory, you own it. But there's, unless you're in therapy, there's no need to share it, because otherwise it's not a catharsis for you of any kind. So mm-hmm. Why bother? And yeah, they stay mum about it, or they downplay it. But that's the nature of America's vets. They're quite a breed. They really are.
And is that why?
Me being the exception to the rule, by the way.
But I mean, is that why Memorial Day is so important?
It absolutely is. I'll mention something about it while I'm in the, during the ceremony, but a couple of weeks ago, I was watching the movie about Saving Private Ryan. Mm-hmm. And probably the most poignant part of the movie for me was when the older, the now senior citizen, met, kneeling at the graveside, one of the soldiers that had saved him. And he had tearfully turned to his wife and said, "Have I been a good man? Have I lived a good life?" And it was touching, because it says so much. Did I live my life well enough to justify the sacrifice that these guys made? You know. Now, when Memorial Day was set up for that, and the whole idea behind it, we do the Logan's Orders, General Logan's orders, which established the history of decorating for Memorial Day. And the emphasis of that was to recognize the service that these guys committed themselves to, mm-hmm. And the mission, the objective of the service. Gettysburg Address that Lincoln did, same thing. Extolling all of us that, as he says in it, that these men shall not have died in vain. And what they died for, we will continue to fight for. We do, from World War I, was the famous poem about Flanders Fields, mm-hmm. By a Canadian medical doctor. And it was the same thing. One of the things most people don't know about the poem about Flanders Fields, you know, it says that take up the torch for the foe. Don't let it die so that we don't have died in vain. And you know, all these battles are for unity and equality and all those basic things that we have in life. But you really don't know the significance to all of them is the loss that precluded them. There were in the Flanders Field poem that Colonel McRae, that was a medical doctor, treated all kinds of casualties. But it was the Battle of Ypres, which was, Flanders is a part of Belgium. It's a fairly large area. And there were, from July through November of 1915, over 600,000 fatalities. That's just, we're talking the ones that died in that time frame in Flanders. You know, that's something you can't come to terms with. And of course, the casualties were three times that.
Sure.
And this is what he was dealing with. And, you know, when you commit to something like that, then the ultimate objective is, because of the sacrifice, you can never forget it. It has to be sustained. And I think the message for Memorial Day is that we as civilians have it now on us to continue the fight to preserve what they died for, because they're not shared. They died for it, for all the freedoms we have, the rights we have, etc. We're living it. They're not. And it would be very selfish of us not to say thank you at least once or twice a year and recognize the gratitude for we owe to all those who serve. And that's why Memorial Day is the significant one that it is.
Yeah,
that's where the loss is. You know, in Veterans Day, we honor the living. Mm-hmm. Now we pay attention to the deceased. And I was looking at the history. I'll mention it on Monday. General Logan picked May 30th as the original date for Memorial Day. It's subject to some speculation. One reason we know he picked it was because there was actually no American battle has an anniversary on that date. So he had to do some research to come at it. And one of the other speculations is that he picked May 30th because the orders call for the strewing and decoration of graves with flowers. And roughly at May 30th, the idea would be that all the flowers that are employed would be in full bloom and provide the best decoration and the best effort and, you know, the prettiest grave sites, etc. Mm-hmm. And that's why that was done that way. And it continued. And General Logan is the, his significance is he was a Civil War general, to start with. But when the war ended, he also became a general. They kept the rank as general for the Grand Army of the Republic. And the Grand Army of the Republic was the largest veterans organization at the time. in the country. There were some Revolutionary War vets and things like that, Indian War vets, a few of them. But the Grand Army of the Republic was the veteran organization made up of Union, so primarily Union soldiers. Eventually it evolved to where they have the sons came in. Now what's left, the heritage to that is the daughters of the GAR that carry on the same tradition. So it's just like we have the Sons of the Legion and other auxiliaries and stuff that handle it. And we just had the Field of Flags Memorial Day that the Sons do at Fort Square, Sons of the Legion. And if you were there, we had a Lieutenant Colonel Mosher, son of a famous and very popular Quincy, North Quincy high school teacher who died just about 2 weeks ago. And Colonel Mosher was a Marine who was he piloted Marine One and Marine Two, the helicopters, from the Clinton administration.
Okay.
So it was nice to have somebody with that kind of an imprimatur on his record. So we're very fortunate to have people like that that can join us. And the key is, we're ready for the veterans for Memorial Day. It's only a couple hours out of the day, but it's very special. Everybody, one of the things that, why do we continue to do it? Years ago when they had the Monday, I believe it was the Monday Memorial Act or Monday Act, where they passed, I think it was in 1971 or so, that took federal holidays and put them on Monday so you would have the long weekends. And that act also was the first time that actually recognized, put Memorial Day into a federal holiday status.
Oh, I didn't realize.
That's when Memorial Day became a federal holiday.
Oh, that recent. I didn't realize that.
1971, yeah. Hmm. In the 50s, Congress changed the nomenclature for Decoration Day changed to Memorial Day.
Okay.
But the holiday celebration took place in 1971. And because that created the long weekend scenario, that tended to dilute some of the ceremonies for Veterans Day. I mean, for Memorial Day.
Yeah.
So it's, some people look forward to it as the 3-day weekend. Some will see it as a holiday for sales.
Mm.
And if that's not enough, most of us tend to herald it as the unofficial start of the summer season.
Right. Yeah. When a lot of families I know visit cemeteries to decorate the graves of their loved ones, veterans or not.
And if you think it's not the start of the summer season, try to get down Route 3 about now on a Friday afternoon. So while the cottages get set up down there.
Yeah.
So it becomes incumbent upon us to make sure, that whenever and as long as it's possible, as long as there's life in this, we will honor our brothers and their families will honor our brothers. And that's why we have Memorial Day. It's why it will continue. And the whole idea of the parade, it's a solemn ceremony. When you think about we're dealing with the memories of veterans who aren't with us anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We're not talking just about the men and women who died in combat during the war. We're also talking about the vets who came back home to make this a better community all across the country. Strengthen their families, strengthen their communities, strengthen the nation. They've done their thing as well. And we have to recognize that also. That's why the significance, the parades they have is just the pomp and circumstance that brings the attention to it. But it's the ceremonies that are done at graveside that really solemnize the significance of the day.
Yeah.
That's why, General Logan's orders identifies the day. Flanders Field identifies the day, Gettysburg Address, Those are the three single things that identify most with it. And all of them have the same message. We have to unify to make sure that what these men and women died for is not lost. The freedoms we enjoyed were established because of them. They were reaffirmed because of them. Yep. And they need to be maintained by us. So that's where you have that, the need to clarify that and to reinforce that for all of us, for American life. It's not just, you know, when Kennedy said that a nation that doesn't recognize its veterans and the honor of their service is not much of a nation. It's not going to last as a nation. And it's true. And as long as we take the time to recognize that these people who aren't with us anymore gave us all that we have, going back hundreds of years, it's not just recently. They died wishing that their loved ones would have a better life and would enjoy the life that's that they served for. And God knows, we know mostly as Americans that, yeah, what they did, what they wished for is what we got. And we need to preserve it. And we never need to, can never afford to forget their sacrifice. And it's why when I like the, anytime you get a chance in the city of Quincy to drive along Coddington Street, when those flags are out there, and it's that 800-900 flags we have out front, there's the legacy of American freedom and liberty blowing in the breeze right there in front of you. And if that doesn't hit home to let you know that the cost of freedom is not free and the cost of sacrifice must be recognized, then nothing will hit you. And I always make it a point at some point, once the flags are up, I just do that for my own edification. And I think, you know, for my dad, I'll pull him to the parking lot at the police station. Just get out of the car and I'll sit on the wall for a few minutes and just, apart from the traffic, just take in the breeze and the scenery and see all those flags flying, because that's the heart of America right there. It really is.
10:30 Monday, May 31st at the World War II Memorial is the ceremony.
Absolutely. All right. And if it rains, we'll take it indoors.
Sure. Yeah. Our veterans groups participating in the Flag Day Parade this year, George, that you know of?
We've been invited, yes.
Okay.
And yeah, we are planning, we will have a representative group there. I don't know yet if the individual units, posts and chapters in the city, mm-hmm. Will be able to marshal enough guys for their own individual color guards, or if we'll just have a mass grouping of them.
Okay.
I know that I've done it for a lot of years, and we would bring along the rifles and fire for the kids.
Yep. Yep.
You know, stuff like that. I think we may be able to do that again this year, but I'm not sure.
Okay.
We won't, you know, that's one of those little things that comes together at the last minute.
But, gotcha. Okay.
But yes, the Quincy Veterans Council has agreed they will be up and they will be participating in the Flag Day Parade. And they are very appreciative of the fact that the flag parade is on. They do understand that because of the COVID restrictions, we just couldn't put anything together in time for a parade, because it's only about 2 weeks difference between Memorial Day and the Flag Day. So for the sake of the city, I'd much rather see Tom and the committee be able to grab the flag, grab the bands, and turn out for that, because in one respect, it's another testament to the vets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the citizens celebrating the flag we all served under, and especially the kids get to enjoy it. They get lessons in school about what Flag Day means. It's a little bit of education with pomp and circumstance thrown in for emphasis and for memory and retention. And we recognize that. We like to be a part of it.
Yep. So the 70th annual this year. So it's one to mark for sure.
It's I guess it's going to be as close to getting back to whatever the new normal is going to be. And it'll be interesting to see what it's going to be like this year with the fireworks down on Wollaston Beach instead of up in Paget Field.
Right. Yeah.
That works better because we still have some COVID restrictions. And if you've been up on Paget Field in any of the years in the past when we've done this, you know it's one major mob.
It's shoulder to shoulder for sure.
It's shoulder to shoulder. So but now we can spread that out for quite a distance.
Yeah.
And I look forward to that. So, well, I do every year. I always like fireworks anyway. So.
Yeah, I think a lot of folks are itching to get out and have a little bit of celebration. So that'd be a great way to do it. If folks have questions or concerns, comments, George, they want to get a hold of your office, what's a good way to do that?
617-376-1192. And I would invite anybody and everybody, if you have questions, we often get confused with the VA, which obviously we're not, but anybody that knows me knows my background with the VA and makes the connection anyway. And there's a lot of benefits out there. There's a lot of confusion. Things are slow right now. As I was coming in the door to work this morning, a veteran pulled up and to say that, you know, he was wondering what happened to us. He was looking for his discharge papers. And he made the request through this office a couple of months ago and hasn't heard anything yet. And I had to explain to him that because of the COVID, the National Archives that handles all the records out in St. Louis dropped down to a 10% personnel workforce. So what used to take two or 3 weeks to get done is now taking 6 months or more.
Wow.
And with the backlog they have now developed, the people out at the archives project that will take them a good year just to catch up on the backlog.
Okay. Not new requests, just the old requests.
Just the old requests.
Yeah. And,
I mean, they're still doing emergency requests and things like that. But yeah, it's hit everywhere and everything. I would say that the VA, if you're a veteran, I did it a couple of weeks ago, although I had an appointment. The VA is now doing walk-ins for COVID vaccinations. And you can come in with your spouse or your significant other and both get the shots.
Oh, very good.
I went in with my wife we went into West Roxbury to get the shots. And the amazing thing to me was, I went to Brockton to get the shot. And we had the choice. We took the Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
So we took the single shot instead of waiting 30 days to do the other.
Yep.
In and out in 15 minutes.
Very good.
So if you're a vet and you and your significant other, by the way, though they will register the individual, we've had a number of cases where it's just maybe a driver. It might not actually could be a neighbor that drove a vet to the VA for the shot, accompanied him in.
Yep. How super is that? That's great.
You know, it's the federal government trying to help. They're doing it quietly, but they're doing it. You know, you've got to be a vet to start with. That's the key to get you in the door.
Sure.
Be with the vet, and they'll try their best to take care of you. So if you're somebody who hasn't had the COVID shot yet and you're a veteran, they're doing walk-ins at the VA clinic, at the VA hospitals now. Jamaica Plain, Brockton, West Roxbury. Just call their numbers and they'll tell you what time, what building to go to, et cetera. So if you haven't done it already, take advantage of it.
Good to know. All right. Always appreciate it, George. Great to talk to you.
Likewise, partner. So I'll see you and Mark or whoever or John on Monday.
Folks will be able to watch the ceremony right here on QATV. Absolutely.
Yes. And when you give the good citizens of Quincy the updated weather reports for the next couple of days, ask them to pray that the weather stays good through Monday, if you would. It would help. I'd appreciate it.
We'll do
take whatever influence we can get.
We'll do what we can. All right. Thanks again. And thank you for your service, George.
You're entirely welcome, Joe. Stay well, my friend.